You're listening to HP3R, Higher Power Ranger Recovery Radio. All recovery, all the time. And once again, it is time for your daily dose of recovery, brought to you by David. Today on Daily Dose of Recovery, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. Now, on the Halloween episode, I mentioned that I feel like all the holidays are wrapped up in traditions that involve indulging in excessive amounts of food and alcohol. And I think it's fair to say that chief among the holidays that does exactly that is Thanksgiving. For those of us who are compulsive eaters, I feel like Thanksgiving is somewhat akin to Doomsday. I worry about people who are new to recovery and abstinence being fearful of this holiday. I know I was last year when I had my first abstinence Thanksgiving, which, just saying those words together, abstinent Thanksgiving, is like the best oxymoron I've ever heard. But you know what? Last year wasn't bad at all. In fact, it was the best Thanksgiving I have experienced in years, because my head was clear and my focus was on enjoying the day and my family. I spent those days off last year writing poems, including one about my mom's dog, and a song written in my fictional elf language to help illustrate a holiday scene in my novel. I didn't eat until I was stuffed. I maintained my food plan, watched the parade on TV, and had a wonderful night's sleep that was not fueled by a food coma like I used to when I was, as they say in program, in the food. But seeing as I have this podcast, I thought it would be fun to offer each of you, dear listeners, some reassurance that you too can make it through Thanksgiving and any other holiday. You do not have to be at the mercy of traditions and claims like, this is how we've always celebrated the holidays, and this is how we're gonna celebrate them again this year. In fact, that's actually a logical fallacy called appeal to tradition. It's one of the errors in logic that I teach to my students in my argumentation course. Now, don't get me wrong, traditions can be lovely, but, and this is important, traditions can also be changed. The very nature of all existence is a continuing process of change. So this year, if you are looking to change how you celebrate Thanksgiving, then know that the cosmic force of the universe is on your side, because everything changes. That said, I do want to talk about some fun facts that I delight in sharing with my students every year when this week rolls around. Starting with this fun fact. 2021 is the 400th anniversary of the first Thanksgiving according to U.S. tradition. Although there is some debate on this issue depending on what you consider to be the first American Thanksgiving, if you mean the one that most kids in the United States grow up learning about, the one that historians refer to as the Plymouth Thanksgiving, then yeah, that one occurred in 1621, sometime between September 21st and November 9th. There is actually very little that we know about the Plymouth Thanksgiving. We know it was held to celebrate the successful fall harvest, and that celebrations like it were common in England. So in all likelihood, it was a custom that the people brought with them, and not something they invented because of their experiences in North America. The first account of the Plymouth Thanksgiving comes to us from William Bradford's journal, and the other is from a publication written by Edward Winslow. From the historical sources, we know that 53 out of the original 102 colonists, commonly referred to as pilgrims, survived the first winter in North America and made it through a successful spring and summer. We know that they made it with the help of the local Native Americans. We also know that at the feast, 90 of those Native Americans were in attendance, including their leader. One of the Native Americans was a young man named Squanto, and he spoke fluent English and had been appointed to serve as the pilgrims' translator and guide, but what most school textbooks don't mention is that Squanto learned English prior to the pilgrims' arrival after he was captured by English explorers and spent time in Europe as a slave. Yeah, awkward. Anywho, another date for consideration as the first Thanksgiving, again at least for those of us who live in the United States, is December 18th, 1777, when the Continental Congress declared a day of National Thanksgiving. 12 years later, George Washington declared the last Thursday in the month of November in 1789 to be a day of Thanksgiving. But these were declarations and not official holidays, which is why they tend to be overlooked in most conversations about the history of Thanksgiving. It was not until 1862 that Thanksgiving became an official holiday that would be celebrated annually each November in the United States. A woman named Sarah Josepha Hale is the person most directly responsible for Thanksgiving becoming a national holiday. She is also famous for writing Mary Had a Little Lamb. Thanks to Sarah, Abraham Lincoln made a proclamation in 1863 for the first modern Thanksgiving to be held on the final Thursday in November. In 1941, Congress adjusted Thanksgiving, defining it as a national holiday to be celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November, and the reason why they did that was to give the country an economic boost. Another fact about Thanksgiving that makes me chuckle is that this holiday is the reason why TV dinners became so popular. There was a shortage of turkeys in 1953, and TV dinners had kind of already been a thing as early as 1945, but they actually became popular because of that shortage. In 1949, Albert and Meyer Bernstein organized Frozen Dinners Incorporated, which packaged frozen dinners on aluminum trays with three compartments. By 1950, the company had produced over 400,000 frozen dinners. But in 1953, with the shortage of turkeys, demand grew, and the Bernstein Brothers Company produced and sold over 2,500,000 frozen dinners. I think one of the best historical facts related to Thanksgiving, if only in tangent, is that Ben Franklin wanted the turkey to be the United States' national bird. In a letter to his daughter, he wrote that an eagle had bad moral character, whereas a turkey was a much more respectable bird. Okay, that's enough history. Let's talk modern information. A survey from 2018 asked Americans how important they feel Thanksgiving is as a holiday. In the responses, 52% answered very important, and 26% answered somewhat important. So that's just over 3/4 in total. Meaning, Thanksgiving is pretty popular. But is it more popular than other holidays? Well, another survey done in the same year with a similar question about the 4th of July, America's Independence Day, showed a combined total of 71% of Americans felt the 4th of July was very important or somewhat important to celebrate versus Thanksgiving's 78%. So I guess we Americans like our turkey more than we like our barbecue? Or maybe we prefer the family bickering to the sound of fireworks? I'm not sure. Some other fun facts about Thanksgiving in the United States. We are actually trending down in the amount of food we eat each year, which is good news, I think. In 2002, about 272 million turkeys were produced for the entire year, while in 2020, we only produced about 220 million. So we are raising less turkeys, with about 40 million of those turkeys being raised in Minnesota, which is the state that produces the most turkeys. Here's another fun fact. According to the National Turkey Federation, yes, that's a thing, about 44 million turkeys were eaten in 2020 for Thanksgiving, with another 22 million for Christmas, and another 19 million for Easter. Also, according to the NTF, about 88% of Americans eat turkey on Thanksgiving. Not me, though. I'm saving my money. The average cost of a turkey this year is about $19. That's for a basic turkey. If you want a big turkey, then you're going to have to pay closer to $24. And that's just for the turkey. Then you have to buy all the other stuff that goes with the meal, which I won't itemize here because You know, I'm not going to be a jerk like that. But I will say that this year, it is estimated that the average Thanksgiving Day meal will cost about $50 if you buy it and cook it yourself. If you want to order out for a meal that is already prepared for you, then it could cost you as much as $120 to $200. Yeah, I'm saving my money this year, just like last year. And I'm going to keep saving my money again and again and again. I saved my money last year, and I'm gonna save it again this year. According to another statistical study, this year 41% of Americans feel they have more to be thankful for, which is something I hope we hold on to going forward into future years. I want people to come together and see that we have more in common to help one another than we have to disagree on. Okay, that's enough with statistics. Let's talk about what Thanksgiving means for a person who is recovering from compulsive eating. In my opinion, all the holidays are kind of paradoxes because there is the real meaning of the holiday, and then there is all the food and the drinking and family arguments that we wrap around the holidays. And of all the holidays, Thanksgiving, at least speaking for myself, is the most antithesis holiday to what people in Overeaters Anonymous are trying to accomplish when it comes to healthy eating. For Thanksgiving, you are expected to get a ton of food, stuff your face until you pass out, while at the same time getting into arguments with family members. It's terrible, but it doesn't have to be that way. It is supposed to be a holiday about gratitude, a time to think about what you're grateful for. And gratitude is very important in recovery. One of the tools that I use to end my day is something called a 4G list. This is a means of reflecting on how my day went, taking a short inventory, and planning for tomorrow. Lots of people use 4G lists in OA, and the first G on the list stands for grateful. It's a gratitude list. And writing down three or four things that I'm grateful for each day helps me remember how good life is and keep positive thinking present in my daily routine. I mentioned earlier that last year I had an abstinent Thanksgiving, and it was great. The holiday wasn't like how it had been. We didn't buy a ton of food, which was awesome to save all the money. We didn't get into family arguments. And we didn't have the labor of producing this gigantic feast, which we then felt obligated to eat before it went bad because we spent all that money on it. I mean, we spent less money, didn't get into arguments, and just enjoyed having the day off. What a bargain! I hope every holiday, and especially Thanksgiving for me going forward in my life, is like this. And I think a lot of other people would benefit from such an approach, especially when it comes to celebrating the holiday season. Think of all the stress you will save. Think of how you'll sleep better. And if you don't consume so much food, then you won't have an upset stomach for the next 3 days. On that note, I do have to share one more fact. The day after Thanksgiving is commonly known as Black Friday because of all the shopping deals that stores like to offer. What is less known is that the Friday after Thanksgiving is also the busiest day of the year for plumbers. Oh, poor Mario. No wonder he and Luigi are always to be found in the Mushroom Kingdom when the holiday season comes. Those plumbers are hiding. I mentioned in the Halloween episode that I used to look at the holidays like running a gauntlet, starting with Halloween and carrying on through New Year's Day and sometimes even as far as Valentine's Day. But I don't look at it that way anymore, which is one of the things that being in the program has given me. I don't feel helpless and resigned about the holidays. This year, after Halloween was over, I took down my spooky decorations and I put up my Christmas ones. In the front room of my home, for the first time in many years, I have a Christmas tree up, and I was able to do that in part due to the fact that I am almost 300 pounds lighter in weight than I was 3 years ago. I was able to get down on the floor and put the skirt around the Christmas tree and then climb back up. That's not something I could do when I was at my maximum weight. I lived in fear of falling down and not being able to pull myself back up when I was at my maximum weight. There are lots of fears that are vanishing from my life as I continue to maintain my abstinence and advance towards a healthy body weight. That is something I am very grateful for. And not just for Thanksgiving, but for every day that I'm leading a healthier, more productive life. Last year, I was very grateful to make it through the holidays with less stress and my abstinence intact. But this year, there is so much more that I am grateful for. Being halfway to my goal weight, wearing smaller clothes, sleeping better, writing again, going to see movies and Broadway plays. Yeah, those season tickets to the Broadway shows are fantastic to have again. I wonder what else I'll be grateful for next year. I don't know, but I'm going to find out. To those in the United States who are celebrating this holiday, I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. To everyone else, I wish you joy, safety, and reassurance that you can maintain a healthy eating plan, which is something for which everyone can be grateful. You've been listening to HP3R, Higher Power Ranger Recovery Radio. All recovery, all the time. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a review. If you'd like to send us an email, then write to hp3rpodcast@gmail.com. Remember to check back on Mondays for new episodes of Recovery Buddies with David, and check back here on Thursdays for future episodes of Daily Dose of Recovery, here on HP3R.